Bonnie Guy, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach. former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. Longtime community activist and founder of the Black World Institute, and a member of the podcast, a Zoomcast, Conscious Corner, which we give all praises and respect to Brother Rasha Key for providing us this platform. He is the presider over Community Education Network, which comes on Wednesday. We're going to get right into things with our co-host. Joe Hembrick is here. Joe Hembrick has a home garden, but he's a former educator at the Linwood Unified School District, and administrator, teacher, and educator at Linwood Unified School District and Compton Unified School District, as well as created the first black head football coach for Linwood Unified, varsity football coach for Linwood Unified, as well as he created the first Unity Mule that exists at Centennial High School right now, where he commissioned people to show black and brown people working together. And he's deep into gardening, as well as Brother Ahi out of Detroit, as I said. Brother Mashinda is here out of Louisiana, and he's a longtime government educator of young people and worker for Louisiana public community. And then again, Omari Bakari, longtime activist and community servant, publisher of the Compton Journal, as well as a longtime person on physical health and working with a multiple talented brother, graduate of Howard University. So we're going to get right into it. First of all, I want to say thank everyone for coming in to listen to this very important presentation by a very important person, not only important to what he's doing, but important to us as a people, an example of what Malcolm said, a nonviolent revolution. When Malcolm said a nonviolent resolution, what he says, all we have to do is change our culture, change our values, change our behavior, and that would be a revolution. Not a revolution within itself. If we do for self, take care of self, and Dr. Rutherford represents that, not just with words, but with action, by becoming the largest black rancher, off-farm worker in California. He's not only that, though. This brother and his whole family has been contributing to the community and consciousness as entrepreneurs and as health servants. He's also one of a world-renowned podiatrist in his practice, where he saved people's feet from getting amputated when doctors had said that was the only thing. They went to him. And I'm talking about movie stars, Carol Connor. I mean, I can't remember all the other ones. But even my brother went there. And what's so beautiful about him when it comes to black people, and I'm not telling you can get this type of action, but sometimes if you ain't got the money, he'll work with you. This brother will work with you because he's all about health. His father put the carpet in my house when I first bought it, me and Abakia Diane. And it's just, yeah. And he was a multi-talented person, his father. And I see where he got it from. But Dr. Weatherford, as I said, he's just an amazing thinker, well known to the community for his activism, and is multi-talented, almost like Imhotep. Imhotep was the world's first multi-genius. He's the one designed and helped build the first pyramid. He was the first physician. They even black doctors have an Imhotep conference every year. He's multi-talented. He was a dentist. He was a doctor. He was a architect. And this was multi-talented. That's what I equate Dr. Weatherford as. And so without further delay, I want him to go ahead and give you more about himself, about his ventures, especially that farm and that ranch, because we all need to grow our own food and develop our own food. He told me on the phone, he said, we ain't worried about no tariffs or nobody or no imports. We got our own stuff right here. And then I let him tell you about all the things they grow and how you can go out there to there at the marketplace. They have all kinds of events, as he said, 20 all the time. Go ahead, Dr. Weatherford. Oh, you know, one more person, Michael Washington. Got to introduce my brother, Mike. Man, I've been going through it on the phone. He's Dr. Weatherford's assistant. Excellent brother. Timely brother. On time, all the time. And we'll hunt you down to get the information that you need. Thanks, Mike, for being on. Go
Oh,
ahead,
my
Dr.
pleasure, my
Weatherford.
pleasure. I want to thank you, Professor Roth, for giving me this platform to share some aspects of my journey and aspects of my vision. Thank you for bringing up my dad, and because you know, man from Oklahoma, ain't no lazy people in Oklahoma. Everybody had to work. And at during the times when you mentioned the carpet he laid in your house, that was, I thought I was being abused because I was the one picking up the carpet. It was no summer camp for me. I was working with all of my 10 uncles. And so, but when I look back on those days, those were some very formative times for me. And I have to give credit that that work ethic is something that has culminated into some of the things that I've been able to do at this stage of my life. I'm glad that you reference Brother Malcolm X. And I believe that from a revolutionary standpoint, the revolution has to be in the mind, not in the streets. I have some things I say, black thoughts matter before black lives could ever matter. You can talk about the fact that black lives matter, but if you go back and still keep doing the same things you've been doing, you're going to end up where you are. So I believe in really doing an inventory on how we've been thinking as a people first, right? Thoughts are very, very powerful, and I think that the way that we think in our mind is that amazing tool that I think is the most underutilized tool in the world. So I'm going to start my presentation at the highest level first about changing the way that you think. If you can change your mind, then you can change your environment. We live in a society that knows how to do a little bit of mind control with social media, television, radio. They know the power of marketing and the mind better than we do. For example, if you allow yourself to see a lot of images, for example, if they show you a hamburger long enough on television, you may feel like you're hungry and that you deserve a break today. You're gonna get you a hamburger, right? Okay. It's thinking, feeling, and then acting. If I can get you thinking about something, then I'm gonna make you feel it, then you're gonna act on it. And I want to start this presentation about the power of the mind. That comes first. I would be negligent if I did not talk about my daily regimen that has allowed me to create a lot of the things that I've been blessed to do. Daily meditation, daily journaling is super powerful. Exercising, if you wake up every day and roll out the bed and just start taking bullets, that's what they want you to do. They want you to wake up and start your day on the run. So with that being said, I wanted to, and I'll sprinkle some things along in my presentation about the power of the mind. That comes first. Everything that you create begins, is create, everything, the chair that you're sitting in right now, that was in someone's head first. Then they bought it to the designer. The car that you're driving in, that was in someone's mind first. Then you, or the person who bought it, someone should go on mute. So I've been blessed to take my mission of preventing amputations both domestically and internationally, and morphing and connecting the real pharmacy, pharmacy, to help our people stay healthy. I've been practicing for over 35 years. I saw this very disturbing trend 35, 36 years ago when I started my practice in Inglewood. African American, black, and recommended for amputation. When I started my practice, I thought I wanted to go into sports medicine. But spiritually, sometimes the good Lord has another path for you. Hey, Crystal, you should go on mute, sweetheart. We don't want to hear your business. Thank you. So sometimes you can go and you think you want to do something, but the universe has another assignment for you. I don't like to use the word purpose. Purpose has too many loopholes. When you have an assignment, Professor Raw, you have something to turn in. You have something, you have some deliverables. In this case, deliverables to humanity. So my assignment has been to decrease the amputation rate in our community, both domestically and abroad, and throughout the diaspora. Africa is starting to have a problem with it. The South Pacific Islands, I've been there to Tahiti and Fiji. And usually diabetes is an indication on a vestige of something, the maldistribution of resources. Diabetes and other maladies such as that, are symptoms of a more, much more societal problem. So I've been practicing for 35 years, and I wrote a book about 15 years ago when I saw a very interesting trend. All my patients that were 100 years old, they were doing the same thing. I started to document, what are my patients doing that are 80, 90, and 100 years old? They're not on all the medications. They don't have all the diabetes. And they were eating five colors. Your plate should look like a rainbow or a flower. It should look like it's bursting with color. If it looks like a two-piece wing, mashed potato roll, biscuit deal, it's all brown, chances are you're in trouble.
Bravo.
Unfortunately, you like that, Miss Diane?
Yeah, trouble.
Got trouble. If your plate looks like a two-piece wing, mashed potato, biscuit deal, there's no nutrients in that. So I started documenting all my patients were the healthiest. Now, everybody here, I want to make this a little interactive if I can. Okay. I used to ask my students, some of my patients, can you name some purple vegetables? I want to check out a Professor Raw, everyone's vegetable vocabulary. Can someone name some purple vegetables for me?
Eggplant, cabbage,
Eggplant, what else?
eggplant,
Cabbage, what else we got?
beets, or is
Beets are
that
more red, but
red?
beets are more red. That's red.
More red, yeah.
Purple kale,
And then avocados
Okay, that's avocados green. Keep
purple
going.
potatoes.
Yeah,
Yeah,
the
purple
potatoes,
potato.
right. Yeah, forgot about
They
those.
also got a pro they also got an
Purple
organic
carrots.
purple carrot. I was gonna come up with that.
Yeah.
Right? So name something yellow. Purple yellow vegetable.
Banana,
And please don't
squash,
don't say cornbread. Please don't say cornbread. One
banana,
place I
squash,
went to
squash,
squash. What else?
peppers.
Bell peppers, yes. So
Bell peppers,
you get the idea. You get the idea. So your plate should look like a rainbow or a flower. And also, too, when we shop and go in the store, you should hug the walls of the store. That's where they have to stay on the perimeter of the store. When you walk in, most stores have the same layout. You walk in, you got fruits and vegetables on one side, a deli, maybe bakery, and some dairy, meats, cheese. That's usually the healthiest part of the store. The minute you start getting in them aisles, then you're in trouble. That's where all the processed foods are, and the sodas and the candies and all the canned goods and frozen foods loaded with sodium, just putting a lot of patients at risk. For me, I'm glad that my dad taught me something. I've never worked for anybody, Professor Raw. As a result of that, I kind of say what I want to say. Mm. I can't be hired and I can't be fired. So that being said, when I talk about the real weapons of mass destruction, we really want to talk about what's killing our people. Let's talk about the WMDs that are in our community right now. Right, the liquor stores. Let's talk about food apartheid. We know what apartheid is from South Africa. Let's talk about food and nutritional apartheid, where systemic racism and the vestiges of slavery still resonate in our community. That's creating enormous barriers to our people getting the food that they deserve to have to be healthy. In my opinion, our nutritional insecurity and the health of our people is the number one national security we should really be concerned about. So with that being said, I believe that we as a people now more than ever, okay, if this is the time, our health is the most important asset that we have, not your car, not your house, not your computer, not your TikTok, none of that, but your health. And even the ministers that I talk to, I really kind of drill down on them because I'm a stakeholder in this community too, just like they are. And when they are not talking about being healthy, they're doing our community a disservice, mainly because they have unrestricted access to money in our community. And when you have that kind of unrestricted and no accountability, not the accountability that's important to our people, that's a problem to me. If you're a minister and if you preach for 2 minutes, you got to sit down, that's a problem. If you're a minister and you can't walk around the block and protest or walk the precinct, that's a problem. I don't know every verse in the Bible, but Jesus walked everywhere, so he must have been pretty healthy. He didn't have lift. I hope I'm not offending anybody. Like I said, I can't be fired, so I can kind of say what I want to say.
And tell the truth.
So what I want to talk about and kind of hopscotch around a little bit is Bloom Ranch. Okay. Bloom Ranch was one of those business opportunities that has blossomed into something that I had no idea that it would turn into today, over 250 acres in LA County. At the time when I purchased the property, I did not know that it was the largest black-owned farm in LA County, the top 4% in California, the top 9% in the United States as far as acreage is concerned. And 250 acres sounds like a lot, but it's a small drop in the bucket compared to all the land that was stolen and mismanaged. Right? So I'm very proud to be able to be the third steward over this property. It was established in 1891. by a family in Switzerland. Like you can imagine, 1891, the condition our people were probably in, Professor Roth. 1891 was probably hard on us. So, and then that family sold it to a couple, and I bought it from that couple, so I'm the third proud owner. 250 acres. The property also has water rights. We have 12 wells, water wells, that are there, so we don't have a water bill. We got an electric bill to pump the water from the ground, but we don't have, and some of the best water that we've had tested, so we have access to the water as well. We have some of the best peaches. Several variety of peaches were developed right there at Bloom Ranch. One variety called the Blum variety of peach, and I'm talking about this peach is big, just like this, and I'm talking about juicy, 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 and loaded with nutrients. And what I've been able to, in a way, relive and reinvigorate, is the Black Street, Black Wall Street model. As you know, Professor, I'm from Oklahoma. I was born in a little town called Wagner, outside of Tulsa, between Tulsa and Muskogee. And I remember, and I always tell the story, I made my first quarter picking cotton. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother made my first quarter. And my grandmother said, don't spend that quarter. You know, old folks from the country, they put everything in the Bible. They put
verse.
Yes. Hello? You may want to be on mute, Robert. You may... They put everything in the Bible. She said, put this quarter in the Bible and don't spend it. So every day I would come and look at that quarter. So I remember very fondly those times in Oklahoma. But my grandmother used to tell me about Black Wall Street. She'd say, baby, we had everything. We had our own banks. We had our own hat makers, our own shoemakers. At the time, as a young kid, I really didn't understand what she's talking about. But now I do. And I'm able to see the enormous benefit of when you can control the seed all the way to market. When you can control a product from the seed all the way to market, you can control, of course, the land, the labor, the marketing, and the distribution. So we are experimenting right now with the economic ecology of when you own your own land and have your own farm. For example, we have a metric of every flower, particularly flower or herb, has to do 5 to 7 things. For example, we grow marigolds. The marigolds will start blooming in June or July. So that marigold is good for agritourism. If you want to come to the farm, and we'll take pictures. Two, you can cut them and put them in a vase and make your home smell good and look beautiful. Three, when they're dried, you can sprinkle them on a salad. When they're dried, you can make a soap, a candle out of it. You can make an extract out of it and make marigold extract. You can make a lotion out of it. You can make a body butter out of it. That's 6 things. So as an entrepreneur and a creative, I've had the ability to let the farm be kind of my creative canvas to see how many products can we extract out of one product. Even the peaches that we have, we don't throw anything away. The peach leaves, do the research, peach leaf extract is an ancient Chinese medicinal product. Peach bark, when we prune the peach trees. Before, we just throw the wood away and turn it to firewood. But now you can take that bark and make a medicinal product out of that. So I think that when I go back to the power of thinking, in order to create and have the time to sit down and go into the laboratory of your mind, you got to be quiet. You got to be still. And I recommend that every man and woman listening should dedicate at least 30 to 45 minutes a day to just being still and just being quiet. Being on the farm has really allowed me to recognize a few things. You're on that farm, I believe in the law of the farm. The young men that we have there, we train them to be patient because you can't plant something today and pick it tomorrow, right? When you embrace the law of the farm, that land out there, I say that vacant land is like your mind. Whatever thought seeds you let drop out there, it's going to grow. So be careful of what you're thinking about. Thoughts are like seeds in your mind, like a garden. And you have to tend to your garden. You got to tend to your mind daily. It's never one and done. Some people think, well, I meditated last week. I went to church on Sunday and that's it. Then you can go back. No, you have to tend to the garden in your mind, like the garden behind me or Bloom Ranch. So the farm, Professor Raw, is more than just a place to grow collard greens, kale, and cabbage. It's a place where people can be mindful. And we've even done some research about the health benefits of farming, especially with our young black men that come out there. We have some young black men who just need a little extra motivation. And when they come out there, Professor, I'll say, this is a shovel. I want you to get to know it. I want you to build a relationship with this shovel. I want you to get this going, this is your new friend. And when you are on that farm, you can't be on the phone doing this and with the shovel in your hand, same thing. You got to have both hands on that shovel, which means you have to be present. And I tell them, if you want to chat with somebody, you can chat with me. Don't chat with nobody else. You can chat with me. Any comments as I'm just kind of hopscotching around? Any feedback so far? Any questions? You're on mute, Professor Roth.
Yeah. Anybody have any questions or that they want to ask Dr. Rutherford at this point?
I thought I'd take a breather because I can rock and roll.
Okay. I just would like for you to go over that Black Thoughts Matter.
Okay.
That's a very significant thing to go, like you said, you paralleled it with Black Lives Matter. But we used to say in culture, if you got if you, even if you fight for jobs, if the person don't have a value for a job, you're not going to keep it. And the same thing with the violence. But you did a good analysis. I just think that needs to be reemphasized, and also the concept of just a minute, your assignment. You say everybody got an assignment, and then the
You like
third,
that? I don't like purpose. I like assignment.
And then I really like nutritional apartheid,
Okay.
as just to briefly go over that. And
Okay. I'll unpack some of those things. So when you talk about Black Thoughts Matter, I would, of course, watch television. I don't hardly watch that much, but you see Black Lives Matter. They're out there marching. And they probably would be out there physically, but not mentally and conscious of what they're doing and what how powerful their thoughts are. My vision is when you can't tase my thoughts. You can't hit my thoughts and my dreams with a nightstick, because you can't see. You can't attack what you can't see.
Teach.
So my vision is, as a people now, to elevate our revolution to thinking, similar to what the Haitians did in Haiti. As you know, Haiti is the only country that liberated itself from slavery. They did through thinking and meditating. They thought about it, right? Right, Professor Raw?
That's right.
They didn't
on
do
their own government.
They didn't do a lot of. They went out on the street. Then they thought about it and they meditated on it. And there's power in your thinking. So let's unpack the thinking part. I want you all to follow me. Every thought has a corresponding chemical that you release in your body. Every person has their own internal pharmacy that you control. That makes sense?
Yes.
When you can just think about something that made you angry 2 years ago and your heart has started beating just like that out of anger, right? That's a chemical, right? Adrenaline. You can think about being in love and your body excrete or the hormone oxytocin, serotonin, and the feel-good hormones will be excreted just by thinking, right? So as a people, we have allowed ourselves and allow society to hijack our minds. As a result of hijacking our minds, I've been hijacking our thinking as well. You follow me, Professor Rowe?
You know I'm on top of that.
Okay. So when I call it either external data input or internal, are you going to let the external environment dictate how you feel and what is producing your own internal laboratory? Or when you sit and think and meditate, that's internal data input. Now you can use your imagination and think about the possibilities and feel good about. You can live. Meditation in the mind allows you to experience the future now, right? How do you experience the future right now? And that's what the television does. And it's one of my favorite books called Blueprint for Black Power by Professor Amos Wilson. Are you guys familiar with that?
I am. I read it
from cover to cover.
Yeah.
And there's one part in there he talks about psychic violence. Psychic violence is the violence that we are subjected to as a people that affects the way that we think about ourselves. Right? So black thoughts matter way before Black Lives Matter. So I can unpack it some more if you want me to, Professor. I can go.
No, that's good. Over. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good.
I can keep unpacking it.
Yeah, your adrenaline come up. That's how they work lie detector test.
Exactly. So if you watch too much television and social media, they can hijack your whole emotional state. Hijack it. So that's why you got to be in a place. That's why being in an environment in nature, I don't have to compete and be aware of those things that can take me off of my base. That's that. So let's talk about nutritional apartheid. Mm-hmm. In the book, Blueprint for Black Power, he has a whole section on legislated racism. Racism that was legislated by this country when it was the law of the land that you couldn't marry who you wanted to marry. You couldn't own land. You couldn't do all these things. These things were a part of legislation that still exists today. Where communities are, so when you look at Black Wall Street and other black towns mm-hmm. across this country, they legislated and made railroads go straight through towns to destroy right. them. Okay. They legislated a lot of policies that undermine the well-being of our communities and what they look like, right? So that has affected how what we see in our food insecurity. Okay. Let's unpack a little bit more about food nutritional apartheid when we talk about food swamps versus the food desert. A food swamp is where you have a high concentration of fast foods in a small area. We can just look at Crenshaw in some places, Southeast LA. You have more liquor stores than you have sit-down restaurants. And also food nutritional apartheid is this. Many years ago, I did a project with the CDC around food insecurity, where my job was to compare, in this particular case, I think it was, I can't think of the food chain right now. Why does one look like one way in the black community and different in the white community? I think it was ABC. I can't think of the name of the food chain, but it used to be on Redondo and Adams. And they had the same one on Third Street in La Brea near Hancock Park. So the one on Adams and Redondo Boulevard, you walk in, the first thing you see is soda pop, potato chips, and toilet paper. That's the first thing they had stacked up when you walked in. When you go to the same chain on Third Street in La Brea, you see beautiful flowers. There's a deli. They're making sandwiches. So we contacted some of the managers and say, why does this store look different in the black community than in the white community? Have you all seen a similar pattern too? Why does the meat section smells funky in the black community and clean in other communities? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm not talking to myself.
No.
So that is nutritional apartheid. Nutritional apartheid also is where the socioeconomics prevent a lot of people from getting the foods that they need. Some of our seniors, because of economics, they can only maybe buy food when they get their Social Security check once a month. So as a result of that, they only buy non-perishables. Soups that are in cans, TV dinners, pot pies, things like that, loaded with sodium, devoid of no nutrients at all, right? So most of our seniors don't buy foods that can spoil that easily. They want to buy them. And then the number one thing that sends my patients to the hospital, hot dogs, hot links, Top Ramen, and Vienna sausage. Oh. Jimmy Dean has sent more people to the emergency room because of all the sodium, you know, from the salt. So if you're eating any of that, all the nitrates and preservatives and the sodium, you're putting yourself in extreme and enormous risk. Right? I hope I ain't hurt no feelings out there. There's a lot of people out there in love with Jimmy Dean.
Not me.
Not you?
Not me.
Okay. Now, some people know with my patients, I will do a drive-by and just come in and do a shakedown in the kitchen. So, Mari, I may bang on the door like this. That means open this door. So when we talk about nutritional apartheid, we're talking about all those barriers. And then we talk about food deserts. Food deserts are places where you have to travel a long way to get something nutritious. I think Compton at one point was a food desert, I believe, Professor Raw. You had to travel a long way in some instances to get something nutritious. So I think things have improved now, but that's the difference between a food swamp and a food desert. So these are impediments and barriers that are undermining the viability and the future of our community. And what was the other thing, Professor Raw? You want me to unpack?
No, go ahead. If you could just get into the marketplace and the farm, what all y'all do there, and I know you have weekend things and celebrations, so people
Yes,
know
yes,
how to.
yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, for those people who want to know what we do, you can go to bloomranchofacton.com. And Michael, what's our social media handles? We got to talk to these youngsters about what our social media handles are. Michael, you
Bloom.
there?
Yes, of course. Yes. So on Instagram, Facebook, you can find us at Bloom Ranch as well as on TikTok.
Good. Are we on TikTok too?
Yes, sir.
I don't even see. I have the stuff. I don't even know that we're on. So you can find out all the things that we're doing on our website as well as social media. So what we have found is that Bloom Ranch has turned out to be a destination. We had no idea. Is that you, Michael? That's the website. Okay. Bloom Ranch has turned out to be a destination for so many people. And right now, the peach trees are blooming, and it looks just like this. I mean, spectacular, green, and absolutely beautiful. Okay. We have some of the best peaches, apples, pears, pomegranates, persimmons. And then this fall, we'll have some of the most exotic melons that you ever want to have. We're going to have some melons that you've never seen before. We'll have melons that all of our melons have seeds. So we're very happy about that too. We don't use any pesticides. And our vegetables, Michael, stay right there. Stay right there. Who
That's
I'm not sure who.
Rashid.
Okay,
Rashid.
okay, okay. I want to show you. See, we take great pride in the quality of our vegetables. Yes, whole food is there. Yes. What's the other one? I can't think of it right now. They can't rival the quality that we have. So we have a lot of greenhouses where we grow some of the best collard greens, the best kale. And even we grow vegetables that people have never seen before. A lot of people have never seen purple mustard greens. Purple mustard greens are some of the most nutritious greens you ever want to have. So we're very happy about that. We have onions, we'll have tomatoes, we're growing our own garlic, our turmeric, and we also, Professor Raw, are going to be growing our own grapes because we have a winery associated with our property. So our winery will have grapes that are grown at Bloom Ranch, some of the best grapes in the world. We've had our soil tested, and we're told that it can produce some of the best wine in the world, Bordeaux. So in the next year or so, we'll have wine and wine tasting. And I don't want nobody to get out there and drinking too much. So we're going to be watching what everybody does.
Don't right? follow me, invite me.
Huh?
I said, don't invite me. Put some of those peaches to get to use too. That makes some good old peach wine.
Yeah, what we have peach. We've made peach and pear cider from our peaches and pears, and apple cider as well. So we're very happy about that. So we do have a number of events as well. We had a Juneteenth celebration last year. It was absolutely amazing. Where we actually invited other Black farmers to come and learn about some of the things that we're doing. Bloom Ranch is a part of a network of other Black farmers called Black Soil. Black Soil is based out of Kentucky. And what Black Soil does, they keep all the data on Black farms across the country. They're the ones who told me, once we became a member of Black Soil, that we were the largest Black-owned farm in LA County. Until we met them, we didn't know. So we had a Juneteenth event this last year. We're gonna do another Juneteenth event. Michael, when is this year's Juneteenth event?
Currently tentatively scheduled for June 14th at the ranch.
June 14th. So June 14th, mark your calendars for Juneteenth celebration at Bloom Ranch. We also had this past this year our own Black History Month celebration. The government said we weren't going to celebrate. Well, I can't be fired. I can't be hired. So I did what we wanted to do. We did our own celebration. We don't have no permission. We don't need no permission to celebrate who we are. So we were able to exercise our freedom to do that. Additionally, we've had a number of programs. We've had our kids out. This past weekend, we had about 100 young kids that were learning about farming. Some of our kids didn't know that cabbage grow on the ground, come out the ground. Some of our kids had never seen a chicken before. So we are using this platform to educate our people, both young and old. Some of our older people who've come out, they really who were raised in the country. And next year, we're probably going to grow some cotton. And don't hold up. As a memorial to the hard work our people have done to build this country. Not to say we're going to go back and pick cotton, but this is will be to memorialize. And this is how I can tell my story, how I made my first quarter picking cotton and what it symbolizes to me. So many times we hear other people tell their story. My granddaddy came here with two quarters and he did this and that, but we never tell our story. We never tell our story that we are descendants of slaves and we found a way out of no way, yeah. Right? I was talking to an old Jewish lady, really nice. She was one of my neighbors at one of the properties I purchased. And I had to hear the Holocaust story at least 50 times. How she and her parents, whatever, escaped when she was a little girl. Then I decided, I said, you know what? I need to tell them. I said, you know what? I'm a descendant of slaves and I became a doctor. Okay. Professor Roth, what you think about that?
Well, it's true. I mean, we've come a long way.
We're so afraid. Mm-hmm. We hear everyone else's story.
Yeah, we're the survivors of the African Holocaust of enslavement.
Right. Everything. Mm-hmm. So And I see my alpha brother there as well, Brother Chef Ramey. So there you go. I'm with you. Iota Psi. Okay. And so when we tell our story, we do our people and our community and our children a disservice when we don't tell our story and tell it with great pride. So when I'm at Bloom Ranch, I'm able to tell my story of being born literally on the farm in Oklahoma, raised in Los Angeles, become a podiatric surgeon, my assignment to decrease the amputation rate in the most vulnerable people. You all may recall the Black Barbershop Health Outreach Program. That was another one of my babies. We screened over 30,000 Black men in Black-owned barbershops cross country. And to do that took a lot of thinking, a lot of faith, a lot of meditation, a lot of prayer. I found a number of things about Black men and their health. Most of us have never heard anything about marketing about Black men's health other than our prostate. We are much bigger than our prostates. We have emotional things, we cry, we feel vulnerable, we get scared, we might not tell everybody, but we do. We have all kind of issues. So when I was going into the barbershop, some of the men there had never seen a doctor in their adult lives, ever, until our nurses put a blood pressure cuff or touched their finger for diabetes, many of which had undetected diabetes. Diabetes so high the machine couldn't read it, over 500. Said, I feel fine. Blood pressure 200 over 100. While they got the hamburger and hot dog in one hand and a cigarette in the other. Talking about I feel fine. So I'm sharing that part of my journey of being in the weeds, being in the trenches of our community. I've learned a lot. I have seen a lot with this aspect, and also globally as well. Anytime you see people that have been oppressed, you see the same damn thing. You see the same thing in the South, in Tahiti and Fiji. You see the same thing in Brazil. You see the same thing in Latin America. You see the same thing in West Africa, or primarily where our African brothers and sisters have abandoned their natural nutritional regimen. The brothers that are and sisters in Accra and Lagos, they want to be American or Westernized, so they think drinking a soda pop and having a chicken wing that you moving on up, that you moving down, in my opinion. So to genetically, when you look at the people in West Africa, the ones that are still in the rural areas, diabetes and high blood pressure is non-existent for the most part. It's when there was a study showed that when you leave the West Coast of Africa, you go through the Caribbean, all those diseases begin to crescendo in Chicago, Atlanta, Detroit, New York, and LA. Chicago has some of the highest recorded blood pressures in the world, right? So what has happened to us from our homeland through the Middle Passage, through the Caribbean, to some of these urban cities? That's why I have, in a strange way, embraced being in nature. You hear the birds right now? They out there clucking the whatever they're doing. Hear that? No. So I wanted to, I can take some more questions.
Yeah.
And Professor Ron, you can direct the traffic.
All right. And thanks a lot, Doc, because you're not picking cotton. People think that's easy, but you get your fingers stuck all day if you don't know how to go in between them birds and take that cotton out. Well, I don't know how they picked it so fast without getting fingers stuck and stuff like that. But our parents used to pick 100 pounds and all that stuff. all day and all night. Cotton is light,
That's right.
and they
Exactly.
weigh it. I mean, and you have to be out there all day. That's why all the kids have to participate to get a bunch
So
of it.
you know what I'm talking about. So for me,
Oh, yeah.
I have to pay homage in my way of the journey and the backs that I'm standing on as a young black man, not young like I used to be, but as a black man in this country right now.
Well, we got two people on. I'm gonna get to my brother-in-law Robert and brother Mashinda. Robert had property in Mississippi, and Mashinda is in Louisiana. But we'll get to them in a minute, brother Hembrick. You have any questions?
Yeah, I had a question. I was just trying to Google to see where the ranch was located. I see it says Acton or something like that.
Acton, California is 45 minutes outside of LA, but it's in Los Angeles County.
It's north, no, north of LA, I'm assuming.
North, exactly.
Yeah, I've been gardening myself for the last 3 years. I'm in my 3rd year of gardening, and I was glad to hear you talk about those purple collards. I have plenty of them in my garden where the stalks and all the leaves are purple. So that's a good thing. And I can really buy into the meditation part with the patience of watching something grow. And also having a commune with nature, watching the bugs and the insects the things that eat the bugs and the butterflies and ladybugs and all of that stuff that's going on in mine.
That's right.
And
That's right.
mine is organic also, but it really develops patience. That's one of the first things I had to learn because I threw something in the ground and I'm watering, waiting for it to come up, but you got to be patient to see, to watch it come to its fruition. And another thing you were saying about the Haitians and their thought processes and how they thought these things. And it seemed to me you were getting to some African spirituality stuff that they had held on to that we don't have here in America, so to speak. And so I just want to comment on that a little bit. Meanwhile, I'm following you and I'm thinking about coming up there. As soon as I finagle away about how to get there, is the ranch open daily? You sell stuff daily, or what's going on?
Every day, 7 days a week, we're open.
Okay.
From
From
LA,
10 to
how far is the ride?
about 45 minutes. 45
45?
minutes.
We need to
45
get
minutes.
teachers to take students out there and let them see independence and self-determination and hard work at its best and entrepreneur opportunities. That's a beautiful thing.
Rob,
Mashinda.
before you get to what is the highway to take to get there the quickest?
We just do GPS because we know where you are. Just put it in the Google, just put it in the map. It takes up, I mean, depending on where you're starting from.
Is there an address? Or just put in
Yeah,
a.
it's on the website. It's whenever you found it in Acton, the address is right there.
Okay. All right.
All right, brother Mashinda, you have a comment? Are you still there? So, go.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm
All
here.
right.
Yeah, comment. Just appreciating the conversation tonight. Very informative. Very important. And I just want to, thank the brother for coming on tonight and sharing. I think it's very critical that everyone hear this. In my second year of growing a garden, my wife and I are growing some plants. I get up at I check them daily, making sure don't overwater, different things like that. Just trying out some vegetables. They pretty colorful. We had a yield last year, like I said, a little personal yield that we didn't have to go to the store for a lot of things. And so been on that journey for a while, just trying to, stay whole, trying to eat right, But I want to ask the doctor, you was talking about the, I think you were saying that they came down from West Africa to, was it the Caribbean? When you were talking about the high blood pressure was like non-existence, why was that? Explain, what was the solution to that high blood pressure? Or I'm sure you were talking about your veggies and stuff, but is there anything in particular that you would recommend for like high, to eliminate or, keep you from getting high blood pressure?
So what I was illustrating is what happened to the African slave from the west coast of Africa to Los Angeles. What are the things that drove high blood pressure? The social indignities. So I was trying to illustrate that. But nutritionally, even not even just in Africa, you take the Japanese, you take a first generation Japanese that's still in Japan, and you move them to LA, they get all kinds of stuff, diabetes, high blood pressure. You take the Pima Indians, that where the population is half in Texas and half in Mexico, the half, because these borders are man-made and imaginary for the most part. The people still live in those areas. The group that lives in the United States has high blood pressure, diabetes, alcoholism. The groups in Mexico, they don't have that. So what you do to yourself or what happens to you will turn on certain genes based upon the environment that you live in
Right.
and the things that you eat. Okay? That makes sense? Your
Makes sense.
environment and what you're subjected to as a person, those genes get switched on. Especially, and there have been a lot of studies that any group of people that are in constant stress continuously have all types of diseases. For example, there's a concept where I'm going to use the analogy of, from an evolutionary standpoint, if you were always, when you were always on the run fighting for your life, those survival hormones are always on. They're only supposed to be on just for running from a tiger, running from a fire or something like that. Then you go back home, you go to sleep. You go back to baseline. But most people in our community are always under stress 24/7 around the clock. That's not sustainable. And so because of all those hormones of stress hormones will drive high blood pressure, will drive diabetes, and all other kinds of diseases as well. I hope I explained that well.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Mashinda. Brother Ahi?
I'm thankful to be a part of this. Once again, Mashinda and Dr. Ra, put some valuable information on here. I think about my granddaddy who came up from Georgia after he retired from Chrysler and got him 10 acres up in Belleville, Michigan, just 30-minute drive west of Detroit, and sitting up in his barn on the hay and throwing ears of corn at the pigs and being chased by that mean rooster and sitting up under that grapevine, just eating till I just pass out. But I
That's
was
right.
out in Compton in the swamp, 15303 McKinley with my auntie. And when I first got out to LA and out to California, LA County, and her backyard with her collard greens and her tomatoes and everything. And 12 noon, she'd have dinner fixed. For
That's
everybody.
right.
And here in Detroit, we have a urban agriculture thing that's going on, and we've always had it. When my babies were growing up, they had the cabbage patch. I had the collard green kids who were standing as tall as my babies. Our neighbors and everybody was it's in the planning, and now we have a resurgence back in Detroit with all the land. The people are taking the land and actually using the lots to grow our own food and to help sustain us. And I just this is just so close to me, and I really appreciate you And I know this is going to be passed down through the years, and it's going to do a lot in the, like you say, developing the internal mind of being an original thinker and not just taking all the media in. Thank you, doctor. I'll sit right back and learn some more.
Ernest McBride.
Yeah, I know he was saying about the, oh, about where to start. Like my daughter's trying to get me to eat right. And she said, the thing is, say anything processed, don't eat it. And hydrogenated stuff, don't intake that. And you, that'll go a long way to start helping you recover your health. I've always, you know, I got high blood pressure, but it's controllable, you know, with medication. But then, you know, and like you were talking about the greens, boy, right here in Long Beach, this area used to be dairy farm area back in the 20s and the 1919s. And boy, anything you put in the ground, I mean, it shoots up because my brother-in-law put a garden in, man. We had collard green stuff was growing like crazy, you know. It started getting out of control. We had to get rid of it. We should have kept it. You know, but the whole neighborhood was coming there, picking stuff and eating it. So, you know, yeah, but this is a, you said 25 minutes or 45 minutes out of
LA? 45 minutes outside of LA. You're
40,
right.
45.
45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic. You hit something real interesting. One of my patients is 104 years old. He said, forget about reading the label. If it's got a label, I won't eat it. So he must know a few things. So he says, I can't trust. He said, I trust what God comes out the ground. But you think I'm not going to trust, I'm going to trust what man slapped a label on?
Yeah.
He says, if it's got a label. And then I, for myself personally, I eat anything that swims or flies. So a pig don't swim. And don't fly. So I don't eat that. So anything that swims or fly.
All right. Omari Bakari.
You know, Dr. Relford, thank you for this presentation. I don't know if you remember, this was about 25 years ago. I came into your office to sell you a recycling black dollar ad. And you looked at me and said, brother. You said, brother, I'm looking at your eyes, and it looks like if you keep eating the same thing you're eating, you're going to have a stroke. And I think I immediately changed my diet. But your journey has been awesome. I remember when you were the first person that I knew that took advantage of the African Growth and Opportunity Act when you introduced butter. Of course, your book, The Five Colors of What We Should Be Eating.
Thank you.
You know, you've done some wonderful work, and I knew your dad too, and I can see how those genes allowed you to continue to do the great things that he was doing, particularly in Compton. So I'm getting out there, coming out there to see you. Adonijah has taught me everything I know about growing food.
Oh, he's an amazing man when it comes to that, for sure.
So I'd like to just tip my hat, and you're wearing that hat well. So I like to just tip my hat to you.
Right on with that.
Is it Rasha Key? Rasha Key, you have any comment?
You're on mute. You're on mute, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about beans.
About what?
What is your take on beans?
Mm-hmm. Well, beans are an excellent source of protein. It's good for the soil. Nitrogen fixing. In fact, we have a cowpea that we're going to grow that's from West Africa. And this particular cowpea was traced back to the slave trade, where the women had it in their hair. And so we're going to, and it's the most, one of the most nutritious beans that you can actually grow and eat. So you'll have access to that in the fall. So beans are very healthy, a very good source of protein, lots of nutrients and minerals in beans.
Anything else, Rasha Key?
Thank you.
All right. Brother Robert Dixon. You're on mute. Okay. Diane, you have any comment?
Oh, I would just like to thank my friend Abakia for inviting me here today. I have learned a lot. Doctor, I met a couple of your employees or who at a festival, and I was very, very excited, and I started a garden from that.
Thank you so much.
I am going to come down to the farm so I can see it, so I can feel it. My father, who lived in Linwood, had a cotton patch to show us how cotton grows, and to pick it. We had to pick it to feel
There
it.
you go.
And yes, I got a little messed up with my fingers, but that was something to know, and I wish I
Hello.
was able to even give that information to my son.
I'm well. How are you?
Who, what?
My,
No,
that
Nabi. Okay.
was
But
Nabiha.
She's on mute now.
yeah. But thank you for giving me another chance to get it together.
All
All
right.
right. Professor Roth.
Yeah, I see Robert.
Professor Roth.
Yeah.
Barry Thomas want to make a comment.
Okay, the name go right after Robert.
Okay.
Robert?
Yeah,
Robert?
Ron, Brother Law, I'm glad
Yeah.
you invited me to this. I know about Dr. Relaford. He operated on my wife in the 80s, so and I appreciate him putting out this message about his farm. I'm planning on visiting it sometime soon in the near future. But I also want to ask about growing your own garden, because that's what I'm into right now, is trying to figure out how to get started growing my own garden in my own backyard.
Well, thank you so much for that. We are going to start a program most likely in the fall called Grow Where You Are, where we can
Okay.
show people how to grow. You don't have to have hundreds of acres. You can
Right.
grow where you are. You have a patio, a little backyard, a little patch. You can even grow it inside. We can show you how to do that. Our goal is to provide the seeds, the starter plants, and the soil to get you started. So this is going to be our Grow Where You Are campaign that we are going to start, because there's so much interest about, how to grow your own food.
Great.
All right, then. Any other question, Robert?
No, I mean, I'm good. My health is good. I'm 71 years old, so I don't have high blood pressure, never had high blood pressure. I don't eat beef, maybe once in a blue moon, but I'm not a beef eater. I stay away from that. But I do eat vegetables, chicken, lots of chicken. And I can't let this go by, but I do eat some pork too now. So being from the South, that's what we grew up on. So granddaddy had hogs and everything. So pork is a staple. So, but other than that, I'm in good health.
Right,
Very good.
good. Barry Rosicky.
Go ahead, Barry.
Yo, good evening, everyone. Hey, I just wanted to take a minute to thank you, Dr. Relaford, for the information this evening. I'm sitting here with Mom. He told me to tell you hello, and looking forward to seeing you soon. And I
Thank
just
you,
wanted
Mom. How you doing, young lady? You doing all right?
and she over here smiling away, man. You know she love to hear your voice, bro. Just to miss that opportunity to see you, man. And but I am so very, very proud and appreciative of what you're doing. And somewhere in the next couple of weeks, man, I'm gonna bring her up. And just gonna be spending the
Congratulations.
time out that way because something she wants to see.
Well, thank you so much. To look forward to that.
All right, Mashariki, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm driving. I don't know, Dr. Rutherford, if you touched on this because I've been in and out, but did you talk about your what you did in Haiti? And how you helped people from losing their limbs due to diabetes?
Well, no, this is from the earthquake. I was there during the 2012 earthquake, and that was not a nutritional or medical thing. That was my first responder campaign for the diaspora. But we bought a lot of medical supplies there, and we did a lot of work there in Haiti. Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah, and one other thing, as far as with the diabetes and high blood pressure, there's a young lady who teach. She's a doctor, a medical physician, but she teaches out of University of San Francisco, and she's in music. And she said prior to the colonization around the world, people didn't have high blood pressure and diabetes. It was the stress and the terror that just tore their bodies up on the inside to where they ended up developing diabetes and high blood pressure. Can you speak on that?
Well, I kind of mentioned that about the stress living in urban communities and the things that we watch on television and the things we allow to enter our mind. Our minds are the most important real estate that we own. Would you let anything squat, anybody just come and squat in your house? We have an alarm and security system on our car, on our homes, but we just let anything come in and squat in our mind. So I use that analogy that we've got to be mindful of, and I call that the gatekeeper in your mind. Who's the gatekeeper? Who's watching? Who's the watchman at the gate? Being mindful of what you are allowing yourself to process mentally, because every thought has a corresponding chemical to match that thought and feeling.
So, would you agree that yoga and things we can do to relax our mind along with
You're breaking up,
exercise is just as
Mashariki.
important as the nutrition that we need?
I
Dropped
can't.
it. I'm sorry. Am I
You're
better
breaking up.
now?
Say it one more time.
Okay. All right. I said, would you say that meditation?
Her phone's gone.
Yeah. Okay.
Put in our body. Okay.
We'll
Still
come back.
breaking up. I'm
Mashariki,
driving.
we'll come back to you, Mashariki.
I'll come back.
Yeah, the chef there.
Okay.
The chef, Paul Ramey. How you doing, brother?
Let's see. Let me get. Oh, good, good. I want to just thank I'm thank my sister for telling me about. Well, I heard about Acton Farm. Thank you, doctor. I got to give up some props for him. All what you do. I heard your story. A lot of people have been sharing about gardening and getting in gardening. It's never too late. Some of us grow up. I grew up in the Bay Area, so a little different. And my neighborhood was a let's just say a rainbow of different people, from Chinese and Japanese, from white, from Hispanic. And so it was a community. It was, like you in Africa, you had a community, how you raised everybody in the city. And we And Filipinos, so we had a little food influence of food from everybody. And I was gardening at maybe age 8 or 9, and I've been gardening ever since. So everybody always says, they probably said to you, doctor, man, if anything go down, I'm coming out there where you at. So,
Yeah, if they said that, yes,
all
absolutely.
right.
so it's never too late. I try to stress to people about having your own garden, a container garden. Or in the ground, putting in your own soil. If it's not that good, if it's sandy, I live out in the Inland Empire, out in the Moreno Valley area. So each time I move, right now I got about 12 different fruit trees, from berries to figs to lemons to Meyer lemons. I make my own stuff. I've been canning since for the last 15 years. I do my own canning. I got greens. I got Swiss chard. So I can relate to what you got, and I can relate to everybody speaking about areas of Compton and Watts and having their own garden and are getting involved with it right now, because that nutrition in your mind, or what you put in your body, you want to put good stuff in, good things come out. It's just like what they say. I always walk through the area and keep that negative stuff off. I
That's
got the
right.
shield on, because that's going, man, that makes it how you walk when you walk. You take your travels when you're out in the street or even at home. And so I want to thank you for, you know, blessing us, man. And I'll be out there because my sister said acting. I was like, oh, Lord, here we go again. I got to drive. Man, I drove for 40 years to L.A. round trip, 130 miles to work at night.
All right. Okay,
so I'm ready for that. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Doc.
Right.
Thank you, all Professor.
Okay, Crystal thank Black Creek.
Greetings, everyone. Blessings, brother Rutherford, brother Bill. I'm so proud of you. We are all so proud of you. But also, I want to say about the Haitians. When Bookman told the people at the voodoo ceremony with the priestess, the high priestess, say, "Let go of the white man's God." Right? You are free. It's just a shift in our consciousness, you know, so I understand what you're saying, and that ancestral memory, it can work both ways. So we have to do our own healing on many levels, not just physical. And of course, the physical is affected by it's physiological and physical and emotional. And so we are not one dimensional, you know, our men are not one dimensional. So we have to do the healing on all levels. And the ancestral memory, it can strengthen us, but we also just have some things to release and heal. And nature is our healer. Nature is our teacher. And so like that brother was saying, paying attention to nature, being in nature is a healing place. So I'm just so I could see it in you and hear it in you that, you know, you've got your new assignment, that it continues to grow and expand. But yeah, being in nature and listening to and strengthening. One of my teachers says imagination is actually that connection to the intuition, right? That is also the connection to the creator and the light that is in us all. So waking up. And I'm just proud of you and thankful for all of you brothers who put this together and my sister, my Shariki, and just giving thanks. About the mentorship program. I've been thinking about mentorships. We need that for our young men. To prevent them going to juvenile and things like that. And if the students can come, and I work with children too, if the students can come to field trips, that's a great thing to have, to see you doing this, just to see it, you know, and to experience it. So, you know, Black and brown students that are in our urban areas that don't see this, you know, their reality has shifted to something else. So this can shift it and open up, you know, and
absolutely,
really, really, absolutely. Really, it is something. I hope so. Is it any mentorship programs that you're doing, or it should be?
There's no formal mentorship program.
Yeah,
with a project like Bloom Ranch, there's so much to do, and we have to. And I tell our people that, you know, every time we say yes to something, that means you're saying no to something else. Mm-hmm. And so we have to stay focused on delivering fresh fruits and vegetables. That's our primary thing. Because we get, you know, so many, the need is so great. So we have to modulate when we roll out the different things that we can do. But the mentorship thing is one of the things that we do want to incorporate, you know, but we would need someone, people to run it, right? Because, you know, we have people have the amazing ideas and it ends up in our lap, you know what I'm saying? And we got to make sure we pick them collard greens and pick them peaches and deliver on time, right? This is the thing that we learn is that we want to make sure we focus on doing one thing good. And that's delivering these fruits and vegetables to everybody. But we are welcoming, and we will, at the appropriate time, morph and add on and transform other components. But running Bloom Ranch is such a sensitive thing and an enormous undertaking with 250 acres, sometimes 60 to 80 employees, depending on the season. And it is a a Herculean, Herculean endeavor. I can words can't even, and Michael can attest to that. What I would recommend, if people, everyone here is welcome, come out there and get in, move some rocks around with us. Get out there in the roads every now and then.
All right,
that's the real. That's the real. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah,
you
but,
come out there.
And sister Crystal,
yes,
we have a lot of groups that come on to do mentorship. So if you put your email in the chat, we'll let you know when mentorship groups come on. Well, we have we may have had some already that come on our show, and we'll put it we'll send you the information, let you know when they'll be on. And because
exactly.
We have,
and then Michael, connect with Michael too. Michael Washington, he's my chief of staff. He can help to organize a mentorship, maybe visit with a young men's program. There, we do want to do that. The need is great. We have been able to turn around a lot of young men, even some of my nephews who lost their way. They saw the light when we put that pickaxe in their hands, and that feel, and that heat. You need that some time to purify them, Professor Raw.
Oh, yeah, you
we
need
call
that vitamin D.
We call that purification.
Yeah. Okay, Brother Lionel?
Yeah, yes,
sir. Oh, Brother Ijaw, I'm sorry. Brother Ijaw.
Yes, sir, brother. Well, you know, Lionel's my government name. My mom and daddy named me that. So I receive it, brother. It's all good. In the spirit of my twin
you
brother.
You do
brother,
mentorship, don't you? Y'all
yes, sir, brother.
Rebuilding black boys or something?
Black man build, brother. Black man build, brother. Yes, sir. Yes,
That'd
sir.
Be great.
So
like
you can
them.
Get in
like
contact with Crystal. We'll
yes,
put
sir.
You in contact.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. In the spirit, I appreciate what you're doing, brother, Dr. Bill, brother. And all the work that you brothers and sisters are doing. And it's an honor to be here on the program. Excuse my screen. And I just appreciate the knowledge and the wisdom. And I'm striving every day to continue to keep my mind right, my spirit, and my body right also as we continue on this journey, because the mental, the physical, the spiritual healing is absolutely necessary as we sojourn in this time that we are in. So I will put my phone number in the chat also for the sister and anybody else who wants to make contact. And Black Man Build is another mentoring organization. Of course, as my brother Chef Ramey is a part of a Black fraternity, I'm also a part of a Black fraternity, Omega Psi Phi. We have a nonprofit, Upward Bound Charities, and we're also working with young Black males in making a difference in the community. And also want to give kudos out to Brother Ernest McBride. I see your name up there, brother. And I'm a substitute teacher, brother. And I came to one of your to your high school that's named after you, brother. And it was an honor to come into your high school and see that name and your picture. I think the picture was a disservice. That was that big portrait that they had of you, and looked like a white man. I see you're a Black man. But I read the articles about you, and I wanted to recognize you and give honor to you too, also, brother.
Ijaw. That was
yes,
his
sir.
Father. That was his father. That's Ernest McBride
well, brother,
Jr.
The name is recognized, brother. So I'm honoring that name is for your father, for you, brother. So
right.
Thank you. Sante
San. Right. Well,
I want to thank everyone for inviting me to this. I hope this is not the last time. I have another call at 7:30.
Okay, I'm sorry. Just Mike Washington, you have any closing comment?
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you as well for inviting myself and Dr. Relaford onto this call. It's been absolutely insightful just hearing from all the incredible minds here. Your questions, your engagement has been absolutely breathtaking. I did go ahead and put in my email address into the chat for anybody that would like to connect. So sister, I know we had a quick interest in some potential programmings with Bloom. I'd love to explore it further. And Brother Henson, you look very familiar, brother. Did I meet you at Shoreline?
No telling, brother. You look familiar too, brother. Yeah.
Alicia Brown?
Yes, sir, brother. Yes,
that's my mother. That's my mother. I thought you looked familiar. I thought you looked familiar. So I'm looking forward to connecting with you again, sir, as well.
Okay, Michael, you have it from here, Michael. Get everyone's contact information.
Dr. Rutherford?
Yes,
Dr. Rutherford. Brother. Just quickly, Dr. Rutherford, I know you got to go. But if all our billionaires will open up ranches, farms, and meat packs, meat processing, or whatever industry, we won't have to worry about applications and DUI. DEI.
No,
look at they're going around buying three Rolls Royces and three this and three that and looking like Zales jeweler or something like that around the neck. One necklace could open up a farm. And I'm just saying that's the consciousness this brother's bringing to us. And I'm just saying that we got to hold our feet. When you go to you have an interview with these actresses and entertainers on your program, ask him, why don't you just open up a farm, open up something to help grow our own food, grow it, and be able to protect it. Dr. Rutherford, again, I'm sorry, Claudette, he has to go.
Thank you so much.
Brother,
so
I'll be in contact. Thank you for your example. Thank you for your contribution to our mental, spiritual, and physical liberation. You take care, brother.
Thank you so much.
And all y'all. Roger, can you gonna close us out?
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for coming this evening. We have tomorrow, Brother Asa Allah. He's a food nutritional researcher, and the topic is the whole, WHOLE. So that's what we have tomorrow night, and everybody's welcome. He's a food nutritional researcher, so it's right along the lines of this evening. Thank you.
And we ask everybody to leave your email in the chat so that we can contact you when we have guest speakers and presentations like Dr. Rutherford. We've had Craig Hodges from Chicago Bulls on. We've had Dr. Karenga on. We've had an entree of intellectuals on. We just want to reach out. And if you know anybody that you think have a message for our people, let us know. You understand? And that's very important. And even you, a chef, if you want to come on and talk about how to cook and how to prepare nutritional foods, that'd be good, Brother
Ray.
All right. And next week on Conscious Corner, we're going to pay a tribute to Asad Jerry Davis. He's one of the premier brothers that led the Black Liberation Movement at Cal State Long Beach. He made his transition, and we're going to be having a tribute to him with words of kindness, memories, and a libation in respect for him. We must honor those, not people you don't even know, that paid the price for our liberation. They didn't make the television shows like Malcolm and Martin Luther King in them days, because they were the only ones really out there. But you have a lot of young people that's doing great things, and this brother did a lot of great things. And by way of honoring him, we're honoring the best of ourselves, as Ozzie Davis said to Malcolm. All right. That's about it. Roger P., take us on in.
Okay, each one teach one in Conscious Corner. We're going to take our pause. Continue to have a great day.